Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building a Moonlit Jungle percussion layer system in Ableton Live 12, and we're doing it with an advanced, mastering-minded approach. The goal is not just to add more drums. The goal is to create that shadowy, hypnotic 90s-inspired D&B darkness where the groove feels alive, the snare still cuts through, and the whole drum stack already feels ready for final loudness. Think of this as designing a percussion ecosystem. Every layer has a job. One layer drives the core break. One adds ghost motion. One gives you that dusty top texture. One brings in metallic or organic tension. And together, they need to sit around a heavy sub and reese without fighting it. That's the whole game. So first, build a dedicated drum group and split your percussion into four tracks. Keep it simple and intentional. Track 1 is your break core. Track 2 is ghost perk. Track 3 is top texture. Track 4 is accent perk. That hierarchy matters. Treat percussion like a hierarchy, not a collage. If every layer is exciting, nothing will feel focused. On the break core track, start with your main loop or break slices. If you're working with a sampled break, use simpler in slice mode so you can control the timing from MIDI. If you prefer audio, consolidate a clean 1 or 2 bar phrase first so you can edit the groove properly. Then shape it before you layer anything on top. Put EQ 8 first. Clean up the low end if the sample has rumble. A gentle high pass around 25 to 35 Hz is usually enough. If the break feels cloudy, cut a little around 250 to 450 Hz. If the snare feels papery, you can shave a little off the 6 to 9 kHz range, but keep it subtle. You still want the character of the sample. After that, a drum bus. This is where you bring the break into focus. A little drive goes a long way. Keep crunch low if the break is already aggressive, and use transients to add snap if needed. Usually you want boom off or only barely present in a darker D&B context, because the bass line is already doing a lot of heavy lifting. If the break feels too long, tighten the decay with a gate or clip gain. You want it to breathe, not smear into the sub. Now move to the ghost perk layer. This is where the movement gets sneaky. Use tiny hats, rim clicks, finger snaps, small conga hits, anything that can live behind the main groove without stealing the spotlight. This layer should feel like it's whispering in the back of the room. Use the groove pool to extract a swing from a break if you want that old-school shuffle feel. Then use utility to control width and auto-filter to keep it out of the way. High pass it somewhere around 180 to 350 Hz, maybe even higher if needed. If the layer gets too wide, narrow it down with utility. A width range from 0 to 40% is often enough. The point is not to make it huge. The point is to make it feel uneasy and alive. Here's a big one. Shift some ghost notes slightly late, especially those little hats after the snare. That tiny drag creates tension. It feels moonlit because it's not perfectly gridlocked, but it's also not sloppy. That asymmetry is part of the menace. Use timing to create menace. Don't just add more hits. Move a few hits a little late, leave the accents more locked, and the whole groove starts breathing in a darker way. Next, build the top texture layer. This is where a lot of people go wrong by making the top end too shiny. In this style, the top layer should create air, dust, and motion, not glossy brightness. You can use a filtered break fragment loop, a noise shaker from operator or analog, a resampled hat wash, or tiny reverse tails. Anything that creates a sense of movement without sounding polished. Process that layer with autofilter, high passing it around 500 to 900 Hz depending on the sound. Add a little saturator if it needs grit, but keep it light. A short delay or echo can create space without turning the mix wet. If the high end gets too harsh, tame it with EQ 8 above 8 to 10 kHz. You want this layer to feel like air moving through a tunnel. Slightly grainy, slightly distant, and definitely not too crisp. Now add the accent perk layer. This is your personality layer. Use toms, rimshots, metallic hits, stick hits, chain-like foley, broken warehouse type sounds, anything with dark texture. This is where you can get that rainy alleyway energy. It should feel sampled, physical, and a little uncomfortable in a good way. A nice chain here is simpler or drum rack into corpus for resonant body, then drum bus for impact, then a short reverb or hybrid reverb with a dark small room. If you need a little movement, use auto pan very subtly. Keep the reverb short, around 0.3 to 0.8 seconds, and don't overdo the wet level. You want the hit to speak and then disappear back into the shadows. Use these accents like call and response with the snare or bass line. A single hit on the last 16th, before bar 5 or bar 13, can create serious forward motion without needing a huge fill. Now route all four tracks into a percussion bus. This is where the perspective changes. You're no longer just mixing layers. You're shaping how the whole drum spectrum survives loudness. Think like a mastering engineer now. On the bus, start with EQ8. Make tiny surgical moves if needed. A small cut around 300 Hz can clear out muddness. If the top feels brittle, gently reduce the very high shelf above 10 kHz. Then add glue compressor, but only for a little bit of glue. 2-to-1 ratio, attack somewhere around 10 to 30 milliseconds, release on auto or around 0.3 seconds, and just 1-to-2 dB of gain reduction. You do not want to flatten the groove. If the attack gets too soft, shorten it. If the break loses punch, back off the compression. After that, use saturator or drum bus to add density if needed. And always check mono with utility. Temporarily collapse the width to zero. If the groove disappears in mono, your layers are too stereo dependent. That check is huge, especially for DNB where the drums need to survive in clubs and on systems that don't always present a wide stereo image the way you expect. Now let's talk about space management with the bass. This is critical. Your percussion method only works if it coexists with the sub and reese instead of competing with them. If the bass has a noisy mid layer, carve some space around 2 to 5 kHz so the ghost percussion can breathe. Keep your sub mono. Avoid wide low mid saturation that starts masking the drum groove. Sometimes a tiny side chain on the percussion bus helps, but keep it subtle. In darker jungle and rollers, the percussion often answers the bass line rather than sitting on top of it. That conversation between drums and bass is part of the darkness. Now bring in automation. Dark DNB lives and dies by controlled evolution. Don't leave your percussion static for 16 bars. Move the filters, move the density, move the perspective. Open the auto filter on your top texture layer over 4 or 8 bars before the drop. Increase drum bus transients a little on the first hit of a new phrase. Send a single ghost hit into a short reverb before a switch. Mute the accent perk layer for a beat or two, then bring it back with a fill. Reduce utility width in the breakdown, then reopen it in the drop. A very musical approach is to think in phrases. In an 8-bar drop, keep bars 1 through 4 lean with the break and ghost layer. Then add the top texture and maybe one rim accent in bars 5 through 8. In bars 7 and 8, automate a tiny crescendo of noise or reversed percussion into the next section. That keeps the groove feeling alive without turning it into a modern EDM-style build. Once the layers are working, resample the percussion bus. This is one of the strongest advanced moves in Ableton. Print 8 or 16 bars of your percussion stack to a new audio track. That gives you a shared sonic fingerprint, which makes the drums feel more like a record and less like separate loop parts stacked together. After resampling, you can slice it, reverse tiny tail fragments, create fills by chopping it into smaller pieces, or process the resample with a EQ8, a little redux for gritty dust, and selective reverb. This is how you get signature transitions that feel uniquely yours. And it's often the quickest way to make a track feel darker without just adding another sound. A few common mistakes to avoid. First, don't layer too many bright percussive sounds. If everything is shiny, the mix loses that foggy character. Second, don't let ghost percussion become clutter. If you can hear it too clearly all the time, it's probably too loud or too wide. Third, don't overcompress the drum bus. You want glue, not flattening. Fourth, keep checking mono. Fifth, keep reverb short and dark. Long tails can wash out the snare and blur bass articulation. And finally, never forget the bass and drum relationship. If the bass is already dense, make the percussion more rhythmic and less spectral. Here are a few pro tips to make this even darker and more convincing. Use deliberate saturation contrast. Keep the breaks slightly rough, but leave the ghost layer cleaner. Let one percussion layer be a little uncomfortable, maybe a detuned tom or a metallic ping that feels slightly off. Build fills from your own resampled bus instead of grabbing random FX hits. Automate tiny filter movements rather than huge sweeps. And be aggressive about the low mids, because a lot of dark drums get muddy between 180 and 500 Hz. Another advanced move is to print and compare variants. Bounce 2-to-4 versions of your percussion bus with slightly different balances of compression, saturation, and transient shape. In mastering-oriented work, small transient differences often matter more than obvious tonal differences. You might find that a slightly less compressed version actually hits harder once the full track is playing. If you want to take this even further, try a parallel crunch lane. Duplicate the percussion bus, distort it heavily, low-pass it, and blend it in quietly underneath a clean version. Or build a micro-resample reversal by reversing the tail of a fill and tucking it under the next section for a subtle suction effect. You can also alternate ghost grids, using one pattern for even bars and another for odd bars, then swapping them every 4 or 8 bars so the groove evolves without feeling like a totally new loop. For a quick practice session, build a 16-bar dark percussion section using only 4 sources. One of those sources must come from resampling your own bus. Make one version that's minimal and DJ-friendly, and another that's denser and more cinematic. Automate at least one filter move, one width change, and one reverb or delay send. Check it in mono. Then compare which version has the clearer snare, which one feels darker without getting louder, and which one survives compression better. If you think you need more percussion, don't add a new sound. Solve it with timing, resampling, saturation, or arrangement.